in here.
You started it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so let's a volunteer to read would like to read. What? I missed what you said.
It's like a
shack official. Yeah, I mean. Yeah. But you'll know that after, you'll still come out alive, so. What? New?
I'll read.
Okay. Itmar.
Imar Namino Rav Amar Rav.
Menashe.
Bar Zavid Amar Rav. Hoshanu Alar Sasakhra Be'edim Bulay.
I just, this is the Gemara, right? So he's just, go ahead.
Amar Brahma, Kamamaya Hashmata, Amar Le Rava, Mai Maluta, Iga, Inkain Shirashtra Rim, the Chai Rahmana, Hikamishkahale. Name Amigo, Dibai, Amar Lod Rimila, Mehiman, Kimanantu, Nan Mehiman.
Okay, so that's just the Gemara, right? He's just quoted the Gemara that Rav said the halacha, Rami Barchama praised it, and then Rava asked his kasha from Shavuos HaShomrim. Now let's see what the Rima Gash says. Perush.
Perush. V'yavagad dehach migo de'amrinan negabe sachir. V'chu migo nami de'amriman ba'alma lavturei mamon hu v'lav lavturei mishrua.
So what is he saying here? That's a...
So he's saying that there is a migo, and we say the sachir, but that every migo is only to exempt someone from paying, but not to exempt them from taking a shrua.
Because he's starting off with an assumption that even though, because he says da'afal gav, right? Avgav da'ach migo darminan lagabi socher, v'kulhu migo namin darmin ba'alma, that the migo that we're saying here by socher, and the migo that we say in general, he means all over Shas. You examine all the migos, and you'll find that they all have one thing in common, and that is, what was the function of the migo? The function of the migo was to pater somebody from having to pay money. But apparently not to exempt someone who was chayav v'shvua. Now we're going to talk about, let's just try to just get through what he's saying. So he starts off with the premise, apparently, that amigo is not potent, is not acceptable in order to exempt someone from a shvua, but it only works to exempt someone from having to pay money. Now, what's he getting at? Notice he started off the thought with the word afal gav. You understand what he's getting at? What's he? Afal gav sounds like there's a problem, right? Even though, what's the problem? Yes?
Is he going to explain Rava's problem?
What do you mean?
Meaning, if he says that all migos only come to exempt someone from money, not shua, Rava seems to say that this, if you say this migo to this extent, then you would not... never be
behind
someone in
Shuachon.
Because of amigo. Yeah,
exactly. The Rima Gash is, in a sense, posing a problem to Rava in the Gemara. The Rava thought that if Rav was right, then what should be a consequence of that? That if Rav is right about his amigo, then a Shomer should never have to swear because he's got amigo. So what is Rava apparently thinking? That migo can pater somebody from a shvua if the migo is in effect, you know, if it's a good migo. So he's saying to Rav, or no, to Rami Bar Chama, even though so then why shouldn't the migo pater from a shvua? So it says the Rima Gash, even though we don't find the migo here, and the migo in general, we only find it with respect to patering from paying money, and not patering from a shvua. So let's just make sure we understand that. He says here by sochir, is that true? That the migo that we find here by sochir is to exempt from paying money. Do you see it? What was the migo? What migo is he talking about?
He already paid him.
That I
yeah. Because I could have said I never hired you, so what's he trying to do based on that? Because what does the Mishnah say, the halach? In the Mishnah's case... Nishma Venota, which means the socher is going to collect. I mean, true, he'll have to swear, but he'll collect. Now, what is the Balabayas trying to do with his migo?
Okay.
Not having to pay. He doesn't want to end up having to pay. So it's true that his migo, the role of his migo, is to get him out of paying. Now, the shvu, the migo that Rava introduces as a kasha on Rami Bar Chama, is a migo about a shomer, where there the role of the migo would be to pater from a shvua, and claims the Rimagash. We don't find that. We don't find, not here by Sochir, and not in general, do we find that a migo paters from a shvua. Now, okay, so keep going.
So in the Alpha God, he's trying to defend Rava's question?
No, on the contrary, he's raising a problem.
But in the second question...
Well, we're going to see how he's going to resolve it, but there's a problem being raised. The problem is... Even an effective migo would not work to pater from a shavuah, because if that's true, then what's Rava's kasha? But within the challenge, he's going to respond to it.
Okay.
Even though you might think that a migo should not be effective to pater from a shavuah, don't be bothered by that. Rava's question is still valid. Now, we don't know why it's still valid.
Right, so he leaves the second clause of the Afagav statement for the rest of the statement we don't see. I mean, it's Afagav.
Well, is he going to tell us anything? Is he going to tell us why?
Isn't it open a question? Maybe he's reiterating the fact that we don't allow you to be put in the
shore. Right, we don't. So we're still in the problem. He still is raising a problem. Now, how he's going to resolve the problem, we haven't read yet. We got to keep going.
Okay.
Understand what I'm saying?
It's long
until... Now, keep going. Now, what is he doing now? Is this the beginning of the answer, or this is still part of the challenge?
Part of the challenge.
That's right. This is still part of the challenge. This is still part of the Afal Gav. Dash Kachinon. What's Dash Kachinon mean?
We find.
Right. What does that mean?
That when we...
We find what?
That when there is a Migo, we find our Chai Rishua.
In your own words, what is that saying?
Someone, even though someone has a migo, he's still
chayv. Yeah, he says we find that even though where there's a migo, the guy still chayv a shvuah, which means the migo does not pater from a shvuah. No, what he's going to say is, I know where I know of a case, is the Rimagash is telling us, mm-hmm. where there is a migo and you still have to swear, which therefore raises this problem. So what's Rava asking? Maybe a migo cannot pater from a shvuah, even if it's an effective migo otherwise. Now, where does he know this? Where does the Rimagash see that a case where there is a migo and the guy is still chayv a shvuah? Keep going. Kagon. Now, there is no Gemara that explicitly says what he's about to say about this case of mash, what the din is. I'm not even talking about how to explain it, but I'm filling you in now. The Gaonim were the ones who were machad. Not that they made a takana. They were the ones who discussed this halach, and they're the ones who felt, in this case of mashgon, that a shavua is required. Now, where they got that from, I'll just tell you one place. We don't have the time to discuss it, but you could look it up on your own. One of the proofs that they bring is a Mishnah in Baba Kama, Kuf Yud Dalid Amud Beis. At the bottom of the Amud, there's only one Mishnah on the page. It's a case about somebody who notices, he recognizes his own vessels, his own kalim, in someone else's possession. And sort of there were rumors that these very vessels were stolen from him, and now we see them in the hands of this person who's walking the streets. And the question is, what happens? So the Mishnah states a certain halacha where a shavuah is required, and the Gaonim thought that this shavuah, you have to see the case, even though there's a migo, there is still a requirement to swear. Exactly who swears what, you have to see the case. So this was, and they had others, this was one of the proofs that a shavuah is required. So let's now go through what he says. That was not a mashkon case, but Gonim felt it was that the mashkon case is parallel to that case.
Okay.
All right.
In the mashkon case,
Gabe mashkon.
In
Do you know what that is?
So,
what's umay de damile?
That there it's considered.
Okay, it's really quite easy. It just it didn't probably wouldn't occur to anyone.
Okay.
What's dummy?
Similar.
Yeah. So what umay de damile?
Our case is so similar to this case.
No, he says man de ika gabe mashkon. Someone who has a mashgon or something similar to it. Yeah. And those either he's got a mashgon of the other guy or he's got the thing from the other guy not because there's a mashgon, but he got it from some other pretext. Can you think of a case where that where you learned? No. What? The chushla. The goats. Now, how did the guy get the goats? Because they were eating on his land. Now, they weren't given to him as a mashkon, but he has them. Right? So, in other words, the guy, the plaintiff, the guy who wants the money, happens to have something that belongs to the defendant. Now, either to the rimagash, it doesn't matter whether I have it because you gave it to me as collateral, or I have it for some other reason. Now you'll understand as we keep going, okay? So he has a mashkon or anything like that. Umay de damile. Now what, you see, he already assumes that you really are familiar with the halacha, and so he's just sort of assuming you know it and just discussing it as he goes along. What is the halacha in this case? If I have a mashkon, I loaned you $1,000. You gave me a mashkon, because, let's say, I insisted on a mashkon, so you gave me one. I have a mashkon. Now, what do I want from you? I want you to pay me $1,000. Now, I have this mashkon. So, the din is that in order for me to collect from you the $1,000, now remember, collecting the $1,000 either means you'll pay me the $1,000. If you refuse to pay me eventually, as a last resort, you know, I'll take it to Beis Din, and they'll allow me, they'll award me, you know, to keep the mashkon. But basically, I'm not interested in the mashkon per se, I'm interested in the cash, I want my money. So, in order for me to collect the money from you, what do I have to do?
Swear.
So the Gaonim, the Rimagash is telling us this halacha, that they feel that this is a nishba v'notel, no different than the nishba v'notels that we have in the Mishnah, you know, the beginning of the seventh parak of Shavuot. So you have a whole list of nishba v'notel. Now, this is not on the list exactly, but they feel that, now again, one of their rayas is this Mishnah Baba Kama Kuf Yadal. You take a look, because there's a Mishnah there that also talks about a Shavuot. So they feel that this is also a nishba v'notel. Okay. Now, what about it? What does this have to do with anything? Let's keep, so read it again. So, mandika gabe mashkon, umayda dama hosam, hainu tama de mishtab. There, the reason why, so what's he getting at? That there is still, what's Migo? Why is he bringing in this case? He's bringing in this case, at least initially, to illustrate what?
Even though there's a Migo.
Even though there's a Migo, he has to swear. How does this case, where does this case even remotely indicate to us that even where you have a migo, you have to swear? Do you see it? Who understood that? Yes?
Making the lender swear.
Yes.
Is making someone who has a migo swear, because since he has the mashkon,
yes,
he could say that, you know, it's mine, I have it.
I have it because of what?
Because I bought it.
That's right. He has a migo. The Migo is, believe me, what, you know, that this is collateral for $1,000 that you still owe me, right? Because I could have said, now let's assume that this thing, this mashkon is worth, what do you want to assume? How much is the mashkon itself worth?
$1,000.
So you make it. So believe me that you owe me $1,000 and this thing that I have is a mashkon towards that debt, because if I'm a liar, I could have simply said that this mashkon, I bought it from you. I own it. Which, of course, is worth $1,000. So believe me. Nevertheless, even though he has this migo, the Gaonim maintain that the halacha is, what? He still has to swear. Now, why should he have to swear? He's got a very good, it sounds like a very good migo. Believe me that you owe me $1,000. Because I could have just said I bought this, which is worth $1,000, and I'll have my $1,000. Yeah.
Is the defendant claiming the mashkon back without paying him?
Yeah, let's say he says, I gave it to you, I let you borrow the mashkon, I don't owe you any money. Maybe
I know what I'm saying, but would the defendant be happy for him to just keep his mashkon?
He wants to lose his mashkon? No. Why would he be happy?
Meaning, who's
the case is the defendant.
The case here?
The defendant wants the mashkon back. Let's say he claims he never gave it to him as a mashkon. I gave it to you because you needed to borrow it from me as a shoel, and I paid, and whatever debt you're talking about, I paid it back already, or I never borrowed it. Because he's denying the whole thing. Now, the lender, the alleged lender, is saying, what are you talking about? I loaned you money, this is a mashkon, blah, blah, blah. So that's the case. So the defendant wants his mashkon back. I mean, he claims it's not a mashkon. He claims, let's say, that I just let you borrow it. Okay? Yeah?
Would you call this amigo? You said that amigo means that someone has a better claim. But when the Midrash is saying that amigo doesn't affect shvua, does that mean in a case where we're saying, where the current status is payment and you would pay and you where your current status is payment,
mm-hmm.
and you could have claimed something that would have gotten you out of payment.
Who would have gotten who out of payment? I'm sorry.
Our standard case of amigo is that you have to pay something.
Yes.
But because you could have claimed something that would have gotten you out of paying.
Yes.
Now we believe what you're saying.
Right.
And we don't make you pay more.
Right.
So when we say that shvua is out, does that mean that if you have two cases where the only difference between them is taking the shvua or not taking the shvua, it doesn't count for amigo, that having to take a shvua versus not having to take a shvua is not a better claim?
I'm not getting it.
Yeah, it's like the mashkon.
I'm not. Yeah.
The difference, the reason that it's a better claim for him to say I bought it.
Yes.
Is because if he says I bought it, we don't make him take a shvua. That's why I bought it is a better claim than
right.
It's your mashkon.
Right.
Because in either case, we're not making him pay.
No, the difference will be whether he'll. If he says I bought it, then there'll be no questions asked. He'll keep it because if he claims he bought it, and the other guy says I never sold it to you, so I'm motzi mechaver lo farai, the guy who has it.
But when we talked about Migo in a motzi mix-up case.
Yes.
The person's claiming I owe you 50% of what you're saying.
Right.
And you should believe me because if I wanted to lie, I would say I owe you nothing.
Right.
So now, believe me when I say 50%, I'm going to pay you 50%. I could have said nothing, so instead of getting everything, we'll keep the middle ground.
Okay.
But here, there isn't a middle ground. It's because I could have made a claim that wouldn't require shvua, therefore...
So therefore, why do I have to take shvua? Now, believe me when I say you owe me $1,000 and this is a mashkon, because I could have said this is not a mashkon, and I just bought this from you.
But there's no middle ground there.
What do you mean a middle ground? Why did...
Modem Mitzah has a middle ground. He's saying...
Well, that's just the nature of the case. You're admitting to some of it, and you could have denied the whole thing. I mean, that's the nature of the case. That's not...
But here, the only difference between the cases is shvua.
That's right, and that's the point. So why shouldn't the Migo... If Migo gives the person that we trust, that we believe the guy because he has a Migo, so let's believe him that this is a mashko, and the debt is still not paid, and therefore the lover should still pay him the $1,000 debt.
But then it's no longer a better claim to say... Why did a better claim say...
Because if I just say I bought it, there'd be no need for a shavua.
Because then there's no difference between the two claims.
But I don't understand, but there would be a difference.
But in Modeh B'Mitzas...
I'm not... Zen Ben said, I don't follow.
Modeh B'Mitzas is because I could have claimed I don't owe you anything.
Right.
Therefore, believe me when I say I'm going to hand you
And therefore what?
Others.
Now we... Yeah.
Therefore, you believe me.
I think... I'm not sure, but it sounds like what you're saying is that... In Modeh B'Mitzas, there is a middle ground, so we're going to take it. But I don't... is that what you're saying?
What middle ground? I don't know what my middle...
Well,
that's just the nature of the case, because the guy was motivated that he owes him something. I mean, that's all. That's just the case. I mean, there's a middle...
It happens to be that that can be the middle ground, but...
That's not...
Is it worse even if you end up equating the two cases?
Equating? What do you mean
No, well, if the Migo works, then the claim you made is exactly equal to the claim that you could have made.
No, that whatever, that we should simply believe you, and that whatever the din would have been without the Migo, so what do you imagine, what would be the din without the Migo?
In which?
Pick any case you want. In Moda B'Mixas. The truth is, I don't know, no one is, people, you should be jumping at this.
Well, there's no Migo in Moda B'Mixas.
Well.
So, we
said there was no Migo, but initially we thought that there was, right? So if the Migo would have been good, what would have been the function of the Migo?
That you don't have to make a shvua.
That you don't have to take a shvua. Is this like ringing bells? I mean, isn't that what we learned?
Yeah,
the only reason why the Migo didn't pater from a shvua in that case is because the Migo was faulty. Isn't that right? But if the Migo had not been faulty, then the Migo would have potted, which itself is a problem for this whole Rima Gash.
Well, Rashi would agree also. That
okay, so we're gonna, it's all gonna work, it's gonna work out, because the, but who raises this? Well, can I mean, not bring it up yet. Okay, so the issue is, can a Migo, I don't know if I'm helping what you're asking.
If the only difference between the two claims is that one is a shvua and one doesn't,
yeah.
Does that mean?
So then why shouldn't the Migo?
It's different than a case where there's also money. A difference in
that's just
money.
The nature of the case, because the guy admitted to owing him something. What difference does that make?
Right, all you need for a Migo is that it be the claim that he doesn't make would be easier.
Yeah, so why do we impose a shvua on him? We should. What's the point of a shvua? Because we're suspicious, right? What's the idea? We're suspicious. Why should we be suspicious? He has a Migo. We should believe him. What is he claiming in this case? He's claiming, I loaned you money, you haven't paid me back, this thing that I have is not something that I borrowed from you because I needed it one day to use it. You gave it to me as a mashgon, that's why I have it, you owe me all this money. You're saying, lahadam, it's not true, you just loaned it to me, you let me borrow it. You're saying the whole thing is not true. So the din is, I gotta swear. Now, why do I have to swear? So you'll tell, well, because, you know, it's his word against yours. So you have to swear. So what do you mean I have to swear? Believe me what I'm saying. Believe me that every word I said is true. Why? Because I simply could have said that this thing is not a mashgon. I didn't have to admit that it's a mashgon if I'm a liar. Because I'm compromising my own position. I could have simply said I bought it, and that would be the end of it. If I said I bought it, you'd lose. There'd be nothing to talk about. So therefore, believe me when I say it's a mashgon and that you owe me $1,000. So why does he need a shvua to prove that point? The Migo should prove it. Like a Migo all over. We say Migo because of the Migo, we believe you. Where otherwise we wouldn't have. Otherwise we might have said a motzei mechaver lofer that you would be on the defensive. That's all. It's just, okay? So keep going. So this is a problem now. That the halacha is, in this case of Mashgon, that he does have to swear, even though we think what? Even though there's a Migo here, and why shouldn't the Migo exempt him from a Shavua? Memela, what would you therefore conclude from the Mashgon case?
That a Migo
does not have the koach to what? To pater somebody from a shvu. And if that's the case, then what is Rava asking? Then Rava's kasha from Shvuas HaShomrim is not on point. Because what Rav and Shmuel were talking about, their Migo was to pater from what?
Paying.
Yeah, that we're used to seeing. So Rava now is jumping that if that Migo is good, then it should also pater from a shvuah. So says the Rima Gash, even though we find that a Migo does not pater from a Shavua, like in the case of Mashgon, so therefore the problem is, so what's Rava talking about? So we haven't, did he explain yet why Rava's Kasha is still valid?
No.
Not yet, so keep going. Dashkechin amai damri bein Migo umechayvin alei Shavua kego mandi kega bein Mashgon umai dedami lei. Now, keep going. Now, what's happening now? Is he still the challenge, or this is the answer?
Challenge.
Okay. Did everybody think that way? Okay, starting with the word chosam. What's this now?
This is starting.
I think answer.
Yes, it's starting the answer.
An answer.
The answer to what?
Why
Rava's Kasha is in fact a good question. Even though we find elsewhere, like the case of Mashkan, what do we find? That Amigo does not pater from a Shavuah. Nevertheless, Rava's Kasha is still a good Kasha. So obviously, what is the Rimagash going to try to do then? Well, say more by distinguishing between what and what? The Mashkan case and what Rava said by Shavuos HaShomrim. That even though in the Mashkan case, what? You do have to swear, and the Migo does not pater you from a Shavuah. That in no way, but Rav is still right when he asked his question of that if to Rami Bar Chama, that if you think that what Rav said is correct, then why does the Shomer have to swear? He has a Migo. Now let's see, at first, you don't know how he's going to do this. It sounds like it's an impossible.
Well,
yeah, what?
Is there a difference between not paying somebody and having someone else pay you?
Yeah.
And like all, like the Moda Mixat case.
Yeah.
You could out of paying the other $50, but that's different than saying, since I'm amigo, you have to owe me $100.
Hey, where did you come up with this idea?
And then maybe yes, you read it here.
So keep reading, and let's see what he says.
Okay.
Hossam, where's Hossam mean?
In the Mashkan case.
That's right. Hainu tamu de mishtaba. There in the mashkon. Yeah, the
reason why he was swearing.
Keep reading.
Yeah, amigo.
Even though there's amigo, you have to swear. Why?
Mishim hahu mide de kashako mine. De mari de mashkon ahu de mishtaba.
You can see what that is?
So that
we get money together.
He's asking money. He's getting money.
How do you translate? What is this? The mishum hahu midi the koshokel mine the mari the mashkona who the mishtaba. What does that mean? The mishum hahu midi the koshokel mine. It's because of that thing.
That thing that he.
What's the koshokel mine the mari the mashkona?
He wants to take from him.
What's the mari the mashkona? The owner of the mar is like a mar, the owner of the mashkon.
What's that?
Of the knows that which he wants to take of the owner of the mashkon. What does he want to take? Who is the owner of the mashkon? The lova, right? So what does he want to take from him?
Money.
So it's mishumahu midi. It's for that thing that he's taking from the owner of the mashkon, who the mishtaba. That's why he's swearing. Well, we still don't keep, but he keep reading. What does that mean?
So even though like a defendant wants him to he's like a defendant.
Who's the he?
The Malva.
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 Yes.
Even though he's like a defendant.
Not like, he says.
He is a defendant. And that he wants to return.
Not that he wants to, but that
he would return.
He has to. Dafagav de nitvahu
la'ahadure. To return the mashkon without getting paid anything.
Beli lemishkon mine midi. Without taking from him. Who's the him?
The
lova midi anything. What does it translate?
That he is a plaintiff.
Yeah.
That in order that he wants to take from him something that he's claiming through the mashkon.
You understand what that in your own words? What is he saying?
That he is claiming money for the mashkon.
Yeah. Now, what's he saying about this guy? The guy who's holding on to the mashkon right now. In terms of the mashkon itself, he doesn't own it. He doesn't. It doesn't belong to him. It belongs to... So as terms of... As the mashkon itself goes, basically that in and of itself he would have to give back. He can't say, I'm going to keep the mashkon, I want to keep it regardless of whether you pay me or not. He has no right to do that because the mashkon does not belong to him. So what is he? So on the one hand, in terms of the mashkon itself, he's a nitva. What do you mean he's a nitva? Because the other guy is demanding back his object. So in that regard, he's like a defendant. Now, I have something that you're claiming belongs to you. So you're the plaintiff and I'm the defendant in that regard. But I'm also a plaintiff because what do I want from you? I want the money that this mashkon is collateral for. So at the same time, I'm a toveya and a nitva. Okay, so what's he getting at? Keep going.
He's claiming that the collateral belongs to him?
No, he's claiming that the collateral is in lieu of a debt that you owe me. Right? Yes.
It's just like, I don't understand why that's not so clear. Meaning like, with the defendant.
Well, let's first finish right in the middle of his thought. So let's just... Gufe. What does that mean?
And it's on the money that he wants to take. That's what he's swearing about, but not on the collateral itself.
Yes. Keep reading.
The lo ahani le migo rav ture mishpua hahu mide dekat tava.
What does that mean?
That the migo would not be enough to...
Not so much enough. What's ahani? Effective. Lo ahani le migo, the migo is not effective. Lafture mishvua.
To exempt him from that shvua.
No. Lafture mishvua hahu midi de kotova. To exempt him from swearing on that thing that he's claiming. You understand? The hahu is the thing that referring to the money, right? That the migo is not effective to exempt him from a shvua about that thing. Hahu mida that he's because what is he claiming? He's claiming the money, right? Ella. What does that mean?
Rather, the shvua, is enough, is effective to exempt him from returning the mashkon without paying anything.
Without, what do you mean without, what is Belila Mishkon?
Without taking anything.
What do you mean taking from whom?
Without. From the Loda.
Yes. Read a little bit more. Teda.
Daha, ilu amar, lekachti humime, yinfa, lo habe mechaya shrua klal, ela hafet ba'ama.
What does that mean?
So you should know that if he would have said, I bought it from you.
Yeah. What if he would have come and said, this is mine, it's not a mashkon, he just would have said, I bought it. What would have been the halach? And you say, no, I didn't sell it to you, you're stealing from me. I say, no, I bought it. And no one has other proof, right? Just my word against yours. What would be the halach in that case?
He wouldn't be chayav shvua at all.
Except for a heses, merely a heses. Okay. Mishum.
Mishum, the halo shakum midei.
What does that mean? Or two more words?
Velo toveya.
Right? Mishum dehalo shokel midi. Because he's not taking anything.
And he's not...
Dehavile nitva. What does that mean?
He's a defendant.
He's a nitva. Why is he a nitva? With regard to this object which he has in his hands, so the other guy wants it back. The other guy is the motzi. Who's muhsuk? Like, who's in possession of the item? The guy who has this thing right now. Right? Tolo shokol midi dehavile nitva velo tov. He's not a toveya. What is he... Do you understand what he's trying to do? Who understands what he's doing with all... What is he talking so about? The mashkon, he's a nitva with regard to the mashkon. And it's only what he wants to take out from the other guy, and that it's on that he's the toveya. What's he? Yes. What is he trying to explain?
I think it's the same thing between the different types of
shua. Well, that is true, but that's going to come out of this. But what is his main point? Yes, Malka.
Is he describing to what extent like migo has power? Like, is there like that the migo has power with regard to this, but it doesn't have power
Yeah, so what is the Migo, who can say more, yes?
He's trying to set it up. He's trying to explain the case in a way that the only thing that the Migo is getting him out of is paying something and not out of swearing. He's trying to kind.
Why doesn't it get him out of swearing? Arita Dratma, why is it getting him? Why is it not getting...
The Migo is only working for the side of him which is a defendant.
Yes.
It's working to let him keep the mashkon. It's not working for the side of him which is a plaintiff, and it's that side of him has to swear.
Because what is the plaintiff part of this is, what is he a plaintiff of?
Money.
Or for? The money. He wants to collect money from the other guy. Read a little bit more. The cave on Chicane. Means what that means?
Yeah, that this also.
Yeah. What's Hachinami?
Here too.
Well, actually, Hachi doesn't mean here, but so also.
Hachi,
so where? Where? Which case? The Shomer case, good. So also in the Shomer case, Kevin the High Shvua, the Komishtaba, Nitva, that this Shvua, that the Nitva, who's the Nitva? But who is the Nitva in this case?
The
no.
The Shomer.
Wait, which case?
The Shomer case. Kevin the High Shvua, the Komishtaba, Nitva, that the Shvua, that the Nitva would be swearing, is for what purpose? La'af Ture Nafshehi.
Exempt
him. It's to exempt himself. Velola mishkal bamidi, but not what?
Not to take anything.
What is the Shomer want? He wants to collect from the balabais. He just wants to exempt himself from the balabais. He wants to exempt himself. And what does he owe the balabais in a sense? What does he owe him? Well, I know that, but what does the balabais want from him right now?
A shavua.
Because the Shomer says what, it was stolen. It was stolen. So, okay. But the balabais would like, the Torah says you got to swear, right? So what is the role of the shvua of the bala, of the shomer would be simply to exempt himself as a nitva.
Exempt himself from
what? That I shouldn't have to swear. I don't want to have to swear to you. The role of the migo would be, the role of the migo would be to exempt himself from the shvua that, in the sense, he would have to take to the balabayas. So, the shomer's role in this litigation, he's only a nitva. That's all he is. He's being the balabayas, wants the pikadon back, it was stolen. So swear to me. Well, I shouldn't have to swear to you because I have a migo. So will the migo be effective to pater from such a shvua? Yes or no? Yes, that's what he's saying.
Kind of says that Migos, basically, they can only work in a case where you're not gaining anything.
That's right. Or to say, a Migo can work if the role of the Migo is what?
To exempt
whom?
The
Nitva. A Migo can only work for the Nitva. And does it matter what? Whether it's exempting you from the nitva having to pay or having to swear, does that matter? Right now, what is the Rimagash assuming? Does it matter?
No.
No, it doesn't matter. Amigo can exempt the nitva from having to pay, if that's the case. And likewise, amigo can exempt the nitva from having to swear, if that's the case. It doesn't matter. So why then in the Mashgon case, he does have to swear? Because he's not swearing about keeping the mashkon. What does he want? He wants to collect the money. He wants to be a notel. He wants to get the money out of the guy. So if you want to collect from the guy, then what? Then apparently the migo cannot help you. What? To be a notel, and that's why the only way you can be a notel is if you do what? Take a shavua. So, therefore what? Therefore, right now, is he now therefore legitimizing Rava's question? Yes. Sure, you're not getting it. Yes, he is. Because what is the fact that Rava's coming in and saying what? If your Rav, if your Migo works, right, Now, the Migo was working to what? To exempt the Balabayas from having to pay the salary, right? Well, if that Migo works, then why shouldn't the Migo also work to exempt the Shomer from having to swear to the Balabayas? Ah, you'll tell me one is money and one is Shavua. So what? Says the Rima Gash. They both have what in common? It's a right. He's a Nitva. So and the Shavua of by Mashkon, that case of Mashkon is different because that's a case of notel where you're a Toveya. If you're a Toveya, then a Migo is not good enough. To get money out of somebody, you have to swear. And the fact that you have a Migo cannot exempt you from having to swear. Now, keep going. So, Velola Mishka Bo Midi. How do you read now? After Midi. Liftor. Mine. Instead, that's all part of what. What is lift? How would you translate the word liftor? I mean, yeah, you all know what the shorish is, but how would you translate it? What's the lama doing? Yeah, let him be potter. Let whom? Let the nitva be potter with this migo. Which? Who's the nitva? The shomer. Kihechi, just like what? He would be potter in a mammon case with a migo. Because just like a migo can potter from mammon, the migo should also potter the shomer from having to swear. Because it doesn't matter, as long as you're a nitva and the role of the migo is to exempt the nitva, it doesn't matter whether it's exempting him from paying or from swearing. Continue. Isn't that right? So like he says, Rava did it. I don't know that Rava established. Well, he pushed Rami Bar Chama until what? Until Rami Bar Chama had to admit that what? That the only situation in which the Torah says the Shomer is Chayv Shvua is if the Balabayas gave it to him Bishtar. Because if it's Bishtar, then he doesn't have a Migo. Why doesn't he have a Migo? Because what would be the Migo? Migo, believe me that it was stolen or an onus happened because I could have said I returned it to you. Well, he couldn't have said that because there's a shtar. Okay? So right now, we are still believing what about Migo and Shavua? Can a Migo potter somebody from having to swear? If he's the defendant, absolutely. There's no difference between Shavua and Mammon in that regard. Isn't that right? Now, keep going. No, did people basically get it until that point? Did you understand that? Yeah? Sort of. Okay. Keep going.
But this is not the halacha.
Okay. V'les hilchasah. This is the Rima Gash now talking. V'les hilchasah hachi. This is not the halacha. So this whole thing. Now, what is he now? Does anybody know what he's going to be rejecting? And he says, yeah. This is not the halacha. What's not the halacha? What? Which halacha is he now rejecting? Who knows? What Miriam said, what Miriam
was... From
so he's rejecting that. But you're right, that's exactly what's happening. V'les hilchasa hachi. This is not the halacha. Now he's going to develop it, but what's going to come out of it is that what we just established, namely what? That a migo can exempt a nitva from a shvua, this is not correct. That the truth of the matter is that what? That even for a nitva, a migo what? Cannot exempt a nitva from a shvua. That there's a basic difference between mammon and shvua, and that even though a migo can exempt a nitva from having to pay money, it will not exempt him from what? From having to take a shavua. Now, how he knows all this, how we have to read. How does he know all this?
But does he then have to go back and reinterpret Rava's question at the end, or can he just say that was the Havamina, but we don't...
Yeah, that was the Havamina, but this is what this whole Gemara thought. But he's saying this whole Gemara is Shaloka Halacha. He knows... This is what the Gemara is saying. Which Gemara? On Mem Hei Amud Beis in Shavuos. This is what the Gemara is saying. But he says that this whole Gemara is not the halacha. We don't paskin like this Gemara. Now, obviously, if he says we're not going to paskin like this Gemara, he can't just say I don't paskin like this Gemara unless what? He has another Gemara that he feels conflicts with this, and he's going to paskin like the other Gemara. He's not just going to get up one day and say, I don't like this Gemara, and I'm not going to paskin like it. He's got to have a reason. The only a reason that's acceptable would be if he's got another Gemara. You can have a machlokas between two Gemaras, and then you have to decide according to which one are you going to paskin. That's right. Now, what other Gemara does he know of? Let's see what he says. Ella. Okay, so he starts off to say what he's really, so really initially when he says, I told you that ultimately is what's going to end up. Which halacha is he first attacking, saying that this is not correct?
There's no migo in
Ishtar. That's right. Our Gemara concluded that there is no migo in the Ishtar case, isn't that right? You have no migo. Says the Rimagash, that's wrong. When I say it's wrong, the Gemara is saying that, but we don't paskin that way. He says, we paskin that you even have a migo in a shtar, at a shomer. I'm talking about a shomer. We're talking about a shmir. I'm not talking about a halva. We're talking about a shomer case. Even if the balabais has a shtar, the shomer still has a migo. Now, let's just stop a second and think for yourself. If that is true, then what problem is do you have to then deal with? If a shomer always has a migo, even with a shtar, what?
Why is he
swearing? Yeah, then when does a shomer ever swear? The Torah says that a shomer has to swear. When would he ever have to swear? If there is no shtar, he has a migo. If there is a shtar, he has a migo. He always has a migo. I mean, he should never have to, but we know that can't be right, because the Torah says he has to swear. Okay. So apparently, everything that we were imagining is wrong. Right? It must be all... So what is wrong exactly? What must be wrong? That amigo can pater from a shvur. That must be wrong. Because if that was right, then a shomer would never, never have to swear. And that can't be, because the Torah says a shomer has to swear. That means that our whole premise must be wrong. That so what should be now our new premise? I'm filling you in. He doesn't, you know, it's going to come out as you keep going. The new premise is that a migo cannot exempt even a nitva from a shavua. Can't. Migo has no effectiveness with regard to shavua. It only has koach with regard to mamo. And therefore, this whole gemara is wrong, and that's why what? That the truth really is, you know why a shomer always has to swear? Not because he doesn't have a migo. He has a very nice migo, but it doesn't help him. Because the migo cannot pater from a shavua. Now let's see. So how does he know that we don't paskin like this gemara here? How does he know that even in the case of a shtar, what? He has a migo. So what did he say? He brings the gemara that we did in Baba Basra. Did you understand this? Who understood it? Yeah? Explain it.
There is a
star. Yeah, what did the Gemara Baba Basra say?
There's still
a migo. Yeah, that's all the Gemara said, there is a migo. Could you fill in, you know, more? What did the Gemara Baba Basra Daf Ayin say exactly? But tell me everything the Gemara said in the conclusion. Everything.
That he has a shrua.
What?
That there is a migo.
Yeah, what's the migo? What did the Shomer claim?
He claimed that he had baptism.
Remember, that case is talking where he claims hechzarti. Got to keep track of that. Our Gemara in Shavuos with Rava is talking about a case where the Shomer claimed what?
Nansu.
You got it right? Don't forget that. And the Migo in our Gemara is that he could have said Hechzarti. Now, our Gemara said that had he said Hechzarti, he would lose because the guy has a shtar. Says the Rimagash, not true. If he would have said Hechzarti, he doesn't lose. And that's what he quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Ayin, that even though the Balabais gave the Shomer the item and there was a shtar, if the Shomer says Hechzarti, says the Gemara in Baba Basra, he is believed because he has a Migo, that he could have said Nansu. Okay, go ahead. But the Gemara also said there
and
what?
When he's believed, he means believed in the Shvah.
Okay, so that means when he says Hechazarti, we believe him with Amigo, but only if he what?
Takes a
Shavua. Okay, everything okay? You have any problems with this?
But in that case...
Yeah.
What?
Why does he have to take a Shavua? Let's review. Why does he have to take a Shavua if
in
he said...
In order to
make Amigo. Because had he claimed Nansu, he would have had to swear. So now that he claims Hechazarti, we'll believe him with Amigo, but he's going to have to swear. Isn't that right?
Well, what exactly is that shvua on? Because if it's just a shvua that he doesn't owe it to him...
No, he says the shvua is that I returned it.
So then why does he even need a migo if he's already made the shvua?
No. He claims hechazarti, right? Now, ordinarily we shouldn't believe him because the other guy has a shtar. In this particular case, we're going to believe him because he has a migo. What's the migo? Believe me that I say that I returned it to you because I could have said an onus happened to it, and if I said an onus happened to it, I wouldn't have to pay you. Only thing is, I would have to swear to you, though. So therefore, when you say now hechazarti, the Gemara concluded, yeah, we'll believe you, but b'shvua. Isn't that right? Now, you understand now what the Rima Gash is therefore saying? You have any problems with this? Well, let's just finish. So therefore, so too, says the Rima Gash, what? So you see that if a shomer says hechazarti, he's believed because he has a migo. It's going to sound very circular. We're going to go in a circle and not know how to get out of it. What is our Gemara in Shavuos about? The Gemara in Shavuos says, what's his claim?
Nansu.
He's believed because... Well, the Gemara said he's not believed with a migo because of shtar, but now the Rima Gash is claiming that's not true. He is believed because he could have said what? Hechazarti, and Hechazarti is believed because he could have said Nansu. Okay, so the guy claims Nansu. And the Rima Gash says he has a Migo because he could have said Hechazarti. Now Hechazarti is believed because he could have said Nansu. Okay, so does that make, yes, what?
That the two Gemaras are working with very different premises. The one in Shavuos is working with the premise that there is no Migo to Shtar. And the one in Babash is working with there is a Migo with a Shtar.
Yeah.
So you can't bring the logic from one to the other one.
Well, the question is, does the Gemara in Baba Basra truly conflict with the Gemara in Shavuos? Now the Rima Gash is claiming what? It most definitely does.
It does.
And which Gemara does he paskin like? The Baba Basra one. Isn't that what he's doing? So tell me, what did the Gemara in Baba Basra say if the Shomer says Hechazarti? He takes a Shavua and we believe him with the Shavua. Even though the other guy has a Shtar, right? Therefore, says the Rima Gash, so in our Gemara Shavuos, when the guy said Nansu, what?
We thought that meant that he got out of the shua.
Yeah, she's right. There's a big problem. The Rima Gash, it doesn't make any sense what he's saying. What is he saying to you? What is the Gemara in Shavuos? What does Rava want in the Gemara in Shavuos? That a shomer should not have to swear when he claims Nansu. So says the Rima Gash, he shouldn't have to swear. You know why? Because if the Gemara in Shavuos is correct, that if there's a Migo, the Migo can pata you from a Shavua, if that whole premise is correct, well, based on the Gemara in Baba Basra, what do we see? That even in the case of a Shtar, the Shomer has a Migo, right? But that was only, he has a Migo if what? If he claims Hechazarti, he is believed, provided that he swears Hechazarti. Isn't that true? So the conclusion of the Gemara in Baba Basra is what? That if a Shomer claims Hechazarti, but refuses to swear, well, he then will have to pay. Because the other guy has a shtar, isn't that true? So the only, so but the Gemara Bava Basra does say, but he could win, he would win, the Shomer would win if he swears. So when you leave the Gemara Bava Basra, what you leave is, Hechazarti is a winning claim if he swears. Now, what is the Gemara in Shavuos about? Rava says, if you're right, then a Shomer who claims Nansu should not have to swear. Now the Rima Gash is saying, but wait a second, he's got a Migo. The problem is, the Migo that he has is he could have said Hechazarti. But had he said Hechazarti, he would have had to swear. So what? Believe me when I claim Nansu, and I should not have to swear, because I could have said Hechazarti. But had I said Hechazarti, I do have to swear.
That's only according to the Gemara and Mabasa.
But that's the whole Gemara that he's working with. It's from that Gemara that he's proving that the whole Gemara in Shavuos is wrong.
They disagree with each other.
What's the disagreement? What is the Gemara, what does Rava want in Shavuos when Rava asked all these kashas? Rava is saying to Rav that the Migo should exempt him from a Shavuah. And the only conclusion the Gemara gave was, well, in the Shtar case, it won't. Now, does the Gemara in Bava Basra conflict with that? Not really. What did the Gemara in Shavuos say? That if you, in a case of a shtar, if he claims Nansu, he still has to swear. It's not, because why? Because he doesn't have a Migo. Are you getting this? The Shomer says Nansu, right? What's our Gemara in Shavuos? The Shomer says Nansu. The Baal HaBayis has a shtar. What's the halacha? Does he have to swear or not?
Yes.
Says the Rima Gash, that's not the halacha. Why is this not the halacha? Because Gemara Baba Basra says that when a shomer claims hechazarti against the shtar, he's believed. Isn't that what the Rima Gash is saying? So if you didn't look up the Gemara there, you didn't know, you just think that if a shomer claims hechazarti, he's believed. So let's pretend we don't know the Gemara Baba Basra. What is it that we don't know?
He
has to take a shvuah. Let's say we didn't know that. Let's say we just assume that if the Shomer says Hechazarti, he just wins with Hechazarti, even though the other guy has a shtar. So then I would understand exactly what the Rima Gash is saying. So then even in a case where there's a shtar and the Shomer says what? Nansu, let's believe him. He should not have to swear because he could have said Hechazarti and not have to swear. Wouldn't that be the way it would work? The problem is, but that's not what the Gemara and Bava Basra said. The Gemara in Bava Basra said that we believe him when he says Hechazarti, but only if he swears. So therefore, when you leave the Gemara in Bava Basra, if a shomer claims Hechazarti, he has to swear. Otherwise, we will not accept the claim. So tell me, does Rava now have a kasha? What would be now? So Rava is asking, what? In a case of a shtar, should the shomer have to swear Nansu in a case of a shtar? Yes. Despite the Gemara in Bava Basra. Why? Because all the Gemara Baba Basra basically said was that if a shomer says Hechazarti, he's got to swear. Okay, so now what if a shomer claims Nansu? Why will he have to swear? You'll tell me as amigo? Believe him when he says Nansu that he shouldn't have to swear because he could have said Hechazarti? But had he said Hechazarti, he would have had to swear. It's the same logic that, what was the logic of the Gemara in Baba Basra as to why he has to swear if he claims Hechazarti? Because if he would have said Nansu, he would have had to swear. Therefore, he has to swear now too. So therefore, Hechazarti, you got to swear. So if he claims Nansu, he has to swear. What are you going to say? He's potter from swearing because he could have said Hechazarti where he would have to swear?
So then which one's the easier claim? I just don't like...
It doesn't matter.
But isn't that Migo that one could have been...
I know, but we see from Baba Basra that even if he said Hechazarti, he's got to swear. All Rishonim ask this kasha on the Rima Gash. The Ramban asks it, what is the Rima Gash talking about? No, what the Ramban and others say is, the two Gemaras don't conflict. Why? Because all the Gemara in Shavuos said was that in the case of a shtar, a shomer is always going to have to swear. You can't get out of swearing when there's a shtar. And that's true. Even with the Gemara and Baba Basra, that's true. Because what did the Gemara and Baba Basra say where there's a shtar? You still have to swear. So there's no conflict between the two Gemaras. You hear what I'm... This is the kasha that the Ram... Who doesn't get it yet? Okay, when someone like to... Who does... Wanna, but re, try to repeat it.
Okay. So the Rimagash says that he's trying to prove that the halacha is that a nigo won't pater you from making a shvuah, from taking a shvuah. And he says that even though the Gemara in Shavuos assumes that the Migo will pater a shomer from taking a shvuah.
It will, but in the case of where there's no shtar.
Where there's no shtar, right. It assumes that it will pater the shomer from taking a shvuah, and then it brings down that only in the case of shtar, then the...
It will not pater from a shvuah. So what is the whole issue of the Gemara in Shavuos about? Does a shomer have to swear or doesn't he have to swear? That's what the whole thing is about. And what did the Gemara conclude in Shavuos? That if there is a shtar, he still has to swear. When he claims nansu, he's going to have to swear. Because the migo doesn't get him out of swearing. Right? Why doesn't it get him out of swearing? Because the balabais has a shtar. Go ahead.
So since the Gemara concludes that way, it makes it seem like the Migo did work to get the Shomer out of the Shavua.
Without a shtar.
Right. So, but the Rimagash wants to say that no, if you say that a Migo can get you out of making a Shavua, then the Shomer would never have to make a Shavua. So what does he do with the case of shtar, where the Gemara and Shavua seem to say that if there was a shtar, then the Shomer did have to take a Shavua? He says no, in that case also the Shomer wouldn't have to take a Shavua, because according to the Gemara and Baba Basra, he could have said Hechazarti and therefore be not have to take a Shavua. So when he says Nansu, even with a shtar, he also doesn't have to take a Shavua.
And the problem with that is what?
The problem with that is, in the case of Baba Basra, when he said Hechazarti, with the shtar, we did make him take a shvuah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if I had a...
Is there a... Oh. Let's see if we can... Maybe on. The Gemara in Shavuos is talking about what? That if there is a shtar, in the case of a shtar, right, and the Shomer claims Nansu, okay, what's the halacha? The Gemara in Shavuos.
5, 6, 2.
Right, so there is a Shavuah, right? Chayav Lishova. So that means where there's the Shomer, where he claims Nansu, that's his claim, right? He's claiming Nansu, he's going to have to swear, okay? Now, the Rimagash is claiming that the Gemara in Baba Basra conflicts with this. Now, what did the Gemara in Baba Basra say? If a Shomer claims what? Hepzarti. So, if a Shomer claims Hepzarti, and there is a shtar, right? The case is there is a shtar, right? There is a shtar. The Shomer claims Hepzarti. So what did the Gemara conclude in Baba Basra? He would be believed against the shtar when he claims a chazarti, but he needs a shvuah. Okay, isn't that true? He will be believed where he won't have to pay anything, even though the other guy has a shtar, but he's got to swear a chazarti. Isn't that what the Gemara concluded? So it comes out then that a shomer who claims hechazarti has to swear in order to win. So let me just ask you then a hypothetical. So what if he refuses to swear for whatever reason?
Okay.
What would happen then? Because I say I returned it to you, but I don't want to swear. You have a shtar. What would be the din?
Okay.
I'll have to pay because you got a shtar. And the only way I could refute you is if I'm willing to swear. Because then I have a migo. If I don't swear, then I don't have a good migo. Now, remember, that's right. Now, In a case here, if the Shomer says Nansu, so the question is, does he have a Migo, right? Does the Shomer have a Migo where he claims Nansu that he could have said what? Hefazarti. Now, what did the Gemara conclude in Shavuos? Does he have this Migo or not?
No.
No. He doesn't. He doesn't have it. Now, how do you understand that? Why doesn't he have it? In other words, if he claims Nansu, he's going to have to swear, and the Migo of Hechazarti doesn't help him.
Because he would still have to swear.
Because the reason why it doesn't help him, I would say, is very simple. It doesn't help him. You can't get out of swearing if he claims Nansu, because you could have said Hechazarti. Because had you said Hechazarti, what's the halacha? Excuse me. You still have to swear in order to win. Hechazarti is not a winning claim without a shvur. So what are you going to tell me? If I claim Nansu, I should not have to swear? Because I could have said Hechazarti? Had I said Hechazarti, I would have to swear. So how could Nansu get him out of the chi of shvur if the only thing that the Migo does, what does the Migo do? Nothing. What do you want to say with the Migo? Believe me here that I should not have to swear because I could have said Hechazarti. Had I said Echazarti, I would have to swear. I still would have to swear. So, how could Nansu be putter from a shvur if the Migo would require a shvur? This is what the Ramban asks on the Rimagash. What is the Rimagash talking about? Yeah?
I thought a question there was not how the Migo would be affected, but there's no Migo at all. And in Shavuos, assuming in a starring scenario, there's absolutely no Migo.
How do you know what the Gemara says? It doesn't work, the Migo. How do you know why it doesn't work?
Because
we didn't know, you know, it doesn't work because
there's a star.
Because, well, I know, but because of the star, because what is the Migo going to tell? Believe me when I say Nansu. What do you want to believe him about when he says Nansu? What do you want to believe? That he shouldn't have to do what? Swear. Our Gemara in Shavuos. What is the Shomer want to get out of? He wants to claim Nansu, and he doesn't want to have to swear. So he said, believe me, when I say Nansu, I should not have to swear, because if I'm a liar, I could have said Hechazarti to you, and what? And I wouldn't be believed, because I'd have to swear also. So believe me when I say Nansu, and I shouldn't have to swear, you should just believe me in what I'm saying, because I could have said Hechazarti. Had I said a chazarta, you wouldn't take my word for it. You would demand a shvur from me in order for me to win. So then why should Nansu be pata from a shvur?
And the Rimagash is trying to say that there is an ego here.
Yeah. Now the Rimagash somehow is claiming that from the Gemara in Baba Basra, we see that there is a Migo, while the Gemara in Shavuos is saying the Migo is totally ineffective. But what is he? This is not what the Gemara in. You understand the problem now that I've raised?
I'm reading the Gemara in Shavuot as if there still is a Migo.
It doesn't. The Migo.
Not a Migo.
The Migo, for what the Gemara in Shavuos wants to accomplish, the Migo is a zero. What did the Gemara in Baba Basra want to accomplish?
Migo works.
To do what?
How to
Shomer from
paying.
No. What was the. From paying. What did the Shomer claim in Baba Basra case? I returned it to you. So what does he want? What does the Shomer want? Not to have to pay. The Baal Bais comes to him and says, where's my object? Where's my pikadon? So what does the Shomer say? I gave it back to you. Ziv, what does the Shomer want? So don't bother me. I don't want to have to pay you. Isn't that what he's doing? Now, does he have to pay him or not? No. But he has to do what, though? He has to swear. So he never gets out of a shavua. He just gets out of paying. But what was Gemara in Shavuos about?
Yeah,
getting out of a shavua. The Gemara in Baba Basra never said that you can get out of a shavua. You still chayiv to swear. Whether you claim Nechazarti, you have to swear. So what do you mean? Nansu should not have to swear because he could have said Nechazarti. Nechazarti is chayiv a shavua. I thought of the but I'm not. I don't think I'm ready to tell you what I thought. So let's just keep going in the Rimagash, and
But for some reason, the Rimagash is assuming what? That the Migo is effective, and therefore we should believe him what? In Nansu, that he should not have to swear because he could have said Hechazarti. Again, what's bothering us, yeah, but had he said Hechazarti, he does have to swear. That's what it's even hard to say it. You don't. This is what, if you read the Ramban, the Chidusha Ramban, this is the kasha that he asks. Yes, what is the Rimagash talking about? All right, let's keep going. Let's see if we just get through this.
The Kevan Chikane. Delay.
What does that mean? This is now his conclusion. Therefore, what do you see from all this?
That a
shvua, even if the one who is chayiv the shvua is whom? The defendant, the nitva. And he's not trying to collect anything, right? He's not getting anything. He just wants to be exempt. He will not be potter what?
From a
shvua. From a shvua. Keep reading. And even though yesh, there is to say that there's a migo, doesn't help. Why? Dechi mahani. Mishtaba. Keep reading. Right. That what? So when do we say a migo is effective? Is only to pater from money? You see how it all fits in. Aval lafturi mishvua. But to exempt him from a shvua, the assumption now is no. Mishtaba. What do I mean, mishtaba? He's got to swear. V'lo mahani lei migo. And the migo is not effective. Now, elaborates a little bit more. Perush.
Perush. Kivan de afsika hilchata da fido hifkid rishtar yecholomar nansu eshtekach da fido v'lo shtar ayri kras.
Stop. What does that mean? Here, now, this is an important step that he takes.
Okay. So saying that once we paska in la lacha, that even if someone gave the shomer object with a shtar, the shomer is not to claim nansu.
With or without a shvua, what is he?
With.
No. It should come out then, based on the Gemara Baba Basra, that even in a shtar case, if the shomer claims nansu, what should come out? He should not have to swear. Keep reading.
We find that...
You understand? But now you have to read, but that's an impossibility. Why is that an impossibility? You're not getting it? Why is this an impossibility? Because the Torah says a shomer has to swear. He's got to swear somewhere. Right? But the logic of what we've been saying, right, it should come out that a shomer should never have to swear, even with a shtar, because he has a migo. If you assume that a migo can pater from a shavua. So therefore you have to... This is all you have to realize this. You have to put, therefore, what conclusion do you have to come to? That our whole premise is wrong. What premise? Which premise? What premise is that? That amigo can what? Can pater from a shvua is wrong. Now, once you realize that it's wrong, then what? Then when would a shomer swear?
Always.
Keep reading. Ishtakach.
Ayre
Kra.
Pasuk is dealing with a case.
Which pasuk?
Where it says that
a shomer has to swear. The shvus hashomrim. That it must be that the pasuk in the Torah is talking even without a shtar. Okay. Vaha.
Vaha ika amigo. Delo dvarim.
Dohayu dvarim me'olam.
Vafilachi chayiva. Rachmana
shvua. Right. Because the point is, even though he might have a migo of lahadam, doesn't matter. Let's see, without a shtar, he has a migo of lahadam. It doesn't matter. He still has to swear. Alma lo amrina migo after mishvua. Therefore, we don't say a migo to pata from a shvua. He just repeats. He's repeating himself. Daha. Right. He repeats it again because by shomrim. Where it's, you could have said amigo, but we don't say it. He's still not potter from a shvua, period. Now, up till here, this is the discussion so far of you know, of what he's been. So right now, based on the Gemara in Baba Basra, he is concluding what? That amigo cannot pater even a nitva from a shavua that he's chayiv to swear. Okay? Now, he's going to move on to... Any case of a nitva who's chayiv a shavua, the fact that he has amigo will not pater him from it. So if you come up with other cases too, now he's going to do that right now. Now he's going to look at other cases, and he's going to say, we also see this from other cases. Keep reading. See what? That amigo cannot pater from a shavua. Let's keep going. What does that mean?
So also in the case of modem mixah, we see this.
We see what?
Phenomenon of amigo not patering you from
a shavua. So he's claiming that the case of modem b'mixas proves, shows us, that amigo cannot pater from a shavua. Where? Let's see what he says. What does that mean?
You could apply amigo to modem mixah, but even so, the Torah makes him swear.
Hilkoch.
Hilkoch. He amrin amigo, that's Torah manol, aval mishua lo.
Stop. So he says that the case of modem b'mitzas proves that amigo, even though there's amigo, it does not exempt you from a shavua. Do you understand this?
Does he ignore the idea of lo adam?
He can't ignore any gemara.
What?
That's right. Say it again. Which means what?
Because according to Rashi, in a case of...
Which Rashi do you mean?
In the Baba. I forgot which one. Hold on. In Baba Kama. When it talks about Aval Gabi Pikadon Meiz Meiz, so Rashi comments on that, and therefore, with Pikadon, if you're Kofar HaKol, you're still high up to take a Shua.
Yes. So therefore, what's it just now? So what does that mean then? So how does it play out here? Well, how do you see from that, that even though there's amigo...
In a modem b'mikta, even if he could be made to be kofar akol, well, a kofar akol would be chayav to take a shvua there as well. So the migo doesn't work because being kofar akol wouldn't be easier than being modem b'mikta.
The migo doesn't work? Yeah. One second. No, it's not, you're not saying it well.
Isn't the Gemara not working from
premise
of migo?
So what is, yes, that's it. What is the Gemara?
Most people kept saying the Gemara is, the whole question originally, why, what's wrong with the mitzvah, is a question of me, is there an ego here?
And if you learn that way, would that be in agreement with the Rima Gash, or that would be against the Rima Gash?
Against them? What
yes.
would the question be?
Again, remember how Tosis learned, Omar Rabba Mipnei Ma Omra Torah Modi B'mitzvah Chai V'Shavua. How did Tosis learn Pshat in that?
There should be amigo.
We should believe him with amigo and that he should not have to swear. Right away, that's against the Rima Gash. What is Tosfos assuming about a migo, if you have a good migo? It does pater from a shavua. Now, the Gemara's answer was, he doesn't have a good migo. Why doesn't he have a good migo? Because eno demeis ponim b'fnei bal chovo. But hypothetically speaking, what if the migo was a good migo? Then if migo is an effective halacha min ha-Torah, then he should not have to swear. Tosfos is assuming that a migo can also pater from a shavua. Now, so if the Rima Gash learned the Gemara of Modi B'mixas exactly like Tosfos, then this would be a raya against him, not supporting him. So obviously, if he looks at the Gemara of Omar Rabba, B'nei Ma'omra Tar Modi B'mixas Yishava, he must be learning it like Rashi in Baba Kama, or like the suggestion that Tosfos made, the Ein Lefaresh suggestion in Tosfos in Shavuos, which was the way they learned was, what was the Gemara, what was Rabba asking, B'nei Ma'omra Torah? Namely what? What was, how did they learn Pshat?
That, why aren't you
swearing the Kofar? Yeah. The Gemara wanted to know, why is it that only a Modeh B'mixas has to swear? Why shouldn't the Kofar HaKol have to swear? Why are we only suspicious of a Modeh B'mixas but not of a Kofar HaKol? To which the Gemara answered, oh, we're not suspicious of a Kofar HaKol. We believe him. Why do we believe a kofar akol, but we're not so ready to believe a modeh b'mixas? Because ain't no demeis. Now, but what about the kasha of what? Well, why don't we believe him So then why don't we believe him when he's a motive and mixas because he has a migo, he could have been a kofra kol, and had he been a kofra kol, we would believe him, right? So why don't we have a migo? What will the Rimagash say?
Migo doesn't
pati from Yeshua. The Gemara never raised that problem. That was never a kasha. So even though there is a migo, what's the migo? Believe me when I am motive and mixas because I could have been a kofra hakol. See, according to Rili Magash, the Gemara was asking, why is a Kofar HaKol Potter? That's all the Gemara wanted to know. Why is a Kofar HaKol Potter? The answer is because Eino Dameyas. So you walk away from that Gemara knowing that a Kofar HaKol is Potter, but a Motiv Mixas is Chayiv. Now, if you sit back and ask yourself the Kasha, well, why should a Motiv Mixas have to swear? Let's believe him with a Migo because he could have been a Kofar HaKol. The Rili Magash will answer you, that's not a Kasha. The Gemara never asked such a Kasha, and you shouldn't ask it either. Why not? Because amigo does not pater from a shavua, that's why. Okay, we're running out of time. I wanted to discuss this more. We only have... did you understand the end about the shutvin? Okay. This is hard. This is learning this Rimagash is humbling. It's very humbling. You know how long I spent on this Rimagash? I just tell you how many hours it took me to figure this out. I must have read it about a 2 dozen times. I mean, this Rimagash. It's hard. That's what I like. I mean, I like the challenge. That's what I enjoy. That makes learning so much fun. At least for me, it does. Anyway, so I wanted to discuss what is this issue as to whether amigo should pater from a shavua or not. Tosvis and many of the other and those Rishonim who disagree with the Rimagash, the Ramban, those who critique him, they all feel, well, what do you mean? Amigo can pater from Mammon, could also pater from a Shavua. And the Rimagash says, no. A Mammon, yes, but a Shavua, absolutely not. I don't know, what would you have said? If I would have asked you, what would you have said? You think amigo can pater you from a Shavua? Yeah?
I would say no.
Okay, why? Why not?
Because Shavua is
the Beferish,
and like it says that.
So is
Amigo. But it says by, like, Hashom, because the Gemara in Shavua, when it was going through all of the, you know, all of the Migos, and it finally came out that the only time a Shomer is going to swear is when there's a Shtar.
Yes.
So it just limited it so much.
Okay. It sounds a little far-fetched, but maybe it's correct.
Wouldn't it be?
But that, I'm asking you, as far as that you go, you can go back and forth. I'll say, well, only in a case of a shtar. And the other one will say, what do you mean only a shtar? I mean the whole... Okay, so we can go back and forth on that without having a resolution. I mean, I think there's a conceptual issue as to whether amigo has the koach to pater from a shtar. I'm sorry, that amigo has a koach to pater from a shavua. What could be the issue? I'm asking about... Whether this Gemara proves it or not, you can go back and forth. So you can't bring me a riot. No Gemara, and we have a kasha on the Rimagash. How did he learn Baba Basra? Okay, I thought of a way out, but I'm afraid it's just too complicated right now. You need time to digest this. So, but I wanted to suggest something. What is the conceptual, you know, underpinning of whether amigo should or should not pater from a shavua? Yes?
Is it maybe because, like, amigo is something that's using logic versus yod shavua, which is something that's, like, deoraita, something that's...
Don't say deoraita, don't use that. You said logic versus what?
Versus, like, gzira.
No. What? Well, I don't know what fact means. Well, logics are... A logical thing is a fact, no. See, fact is not the right...
It's an assumption versus, like...
A what? Versus what?
Actually saying.
What do you mean saying? What? Okay. Instead of using the word Eidus, so what does Eidus mean to you? I know it means testimony.
Like
Yeah. Oh, use a better word than Raya. Okay, Raya. What does Raya mean to you?
Proof, evidence.
Okay. Okay, as far as what I
would... Your real assurance.
Okay, I just have maybe some just clearer language, but I'm saying, I'm just going to say basically what you're all saying. Let me give you the following case. Remember we learned that it came up, or did it come up, Bari Vishema?
Yeah.
We said Bari Adif. Yeah. Let's think about that a second. I have a Bari claim, you have a Shema claim. So let's assume there's a machlokas, but you follow the opinion that says Bari Adif. So I win. So let me ask you, do I win because Beis Din actually believes me? Do they actually believe me when I say you haven't paid me back? I say you owe me money. And you say I don't remember. Now, so the din is you have to pay me. So would you say that the reason why you have to pay me is because the Torah actually believes me? I am believed that you owe me the money. Well, if it's not that the halacha, that the Dayanim Beis Din believes me, then what is it then? Yeah, say it, Shmalka. Your claim what? Yeah, I have a stronger claim. Who's telling the truth? I have no idea. You don't remember. Now, maybe I'm lying. When I say you owe me the money, could it be that I'm lying? Sure, it could be that you're lying. I don't know. Okay, we assume people have a cheskas kashrus. I'm not going to say you're a liar, but I'm not going to take a shvuah that you're totally honest either. How do I know? All I know is that my claim is a definitive claim, right? It's a vadai claim, and you don't know. You say, I don't know. That's not a claim, I don't know. So you're not denying what I'm saying. It could be that what I'm saying is right. We have no indication that what I'm saying is a lie. So memela bari v'shema bari adif. So it could be that sometimes a person can win a case because his claim is a stronger claim. It doesn't necessarily mean that the one who has the stronger claim is the one that we actually believe every word that comes out of his mouth as Torah Semes. Let's say if I come to you and I say, what are you doing on my land? And you say, I don't know why I'm on your land. So I would win. If you had said to me, you bought this land and you've been living on it for 3 years, you know this halacha cheskas gimel shanim? Mm-hmm. So if you would have said that I bought the land from you 3 years ago and I've been living on it ever since, you would win. But if I come to you and I say, what are you doing on my land? And you say, I don't know why I'm on your land. I can't remember. So that's a silly position. So you'll lose. Does that mean I never sold it to you? No, it just means you don't have a claim. You don't remember. So what kind of a claim? That's not a claim. So my claim is just stronger. So sometimes I could win in Beis Din, not because the Beis Din really believes every word that I say, but simply because my claim is a better claim than yours. Your claim is just, you're saying, I don't know, it's just, you know, right? Now, sometimes I could win because Beis Din really believes what I'm saying. Now, when would you have a situation where they really believe what I'm saying? Well, you mentioned Eidos. Yeah, that would be a good example. What if I have two Adam that testify that the money belongs to me? You're saying it's not so. And I have two Adam that the money belongs to me. So would you say it's just that I have a better claim? Or would you say that the Torah believes me? I would say that believes me because I have two Adam. The Torah believes two Adam. Two Adam testify that you owe me the money. Two Adam have total ne'amonus. That's the word I think that we're all looking for. Adam have ne'amonus. We believe them. The Torah believes it. So we believe it to be true. Right? Now, when you take a shavua, where would you put a shavua? Would a shavua simply make your claim just simply a better claim? Or do you think taking a shavua would actually give you ne'amonus? Ne'amonus. I think so too. So now you already see where I'm going. So the question now is, how do you look at amigo? The fact that I could have said, take all the cases that we work with amigo, right? Believe me in this, let's see with the Mashkon case, believe me, da da da, because I could have said I bought it. But like the case, we didn't have a chance to discuss it, the Ezim, Chushla. So what did the Gemara there say? Believe me that they ate such and such amount of produce because I could have said, I bought these goats from you. Now, when you make such a claim, amigo, does that mean we believe it? It just means your claim is a stronger claim. It's not so posh, right? I don't know, right? So how would it work out then? If you think that what? that really nigo gives the person ne'amanus, real ne'amanus, then should it pater from a shavua? Yes. But if you think that amigo is what? It just makes your claim stronger, which the truth is, I don't, what would you think? What?
At a certain point, if the claim is really, really strong.
Well, that's the question now. Is it simply just a stronger claim? I have a claim where I back it up, but I could have said something else. Okay. So that means we believe it, or just means, okay, your position. I think I happen to like, I don't know. What would you think about amigo? I don't know. I don't know. I think you can go, I mean, I can hear either side. But maybe that is exactly the issue. If you think that amigo is just gives your claim a stronger claim, similar to, let's say, Bari Vishema, Bari is a stronger claim. So then, if that's all, if that's what amigo does, it cannot exempt somebody from a shavua, because where you're chayav v'shavua, what does the Torah want from you if the Torah says you have to swear? We need ne'amanus. We need something better than just a claim. And amigo doesn't provide that. So then, amigo would not pater from a shavua. Now, that would be interesting if you can then test this. So what I also thought, but didn't have time to develop, it might be that the fact that amigo of chutzpah is or is not valid. I mean, from Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara, we discussed this the other day, Rav and Shmuel seem to think that amigo of chutzpah, remember we talked about that, is still good. That also might depend on this, on what? What would you say? If amigo of chutzpah can still be valid, would that make sense to you if you assume amigo is namanus? Or it's just a better claim? See, to me, if the amigo is chutzpah, then I don't see how I could actually believe the guy. What are you going to say? Believe me and what I'm saying, because I could have said something else, even though that's something else that I could have said would have taken more nerve. So it would have taken me more nerve, so we're going to still believe him? If the reasoning of amigo is what? You have to think about that, whether this is really compelling what I'm saying. If the role of the amigo is just to give the person a better claim, well, then maybe even if it's amigo of chutzpah, he still has that in his back pocket to do what? Now, he could have said the other claim. I would have been harder. Okay, so it would have been harder. So what? But he could have said it. So if the role of amigo is just to strengthen the claim, then even amigo of the chutzpah of Rav and Shmuel's type, I don't mean from Modib Mixas to Kofar HaKomer, we distinguished between that yesterday. But if the purpose of amigo is to actually afford the person real namanos, then we want that amigo not to have any, you know, flaws in it. But if we think that there might have been a reluctance to say the potential claim, then how could you say you really believe him in what he did say? Because he could have said the other one, but he wouldn't have. Or we might think he wouldn't have, because it's a harder claim to make. Because if the role of amigo is to give namanos, then I could see where somebody would say that amigo of chutzpah takes away from that namanos, and that's why the amigo is ineffective. But if the role of amigo is simply just to strengthen his claim, then maybe, it doesn't have to, but maybe even amigo of chutzpah would satisfy that, perhaps. All right, there's a lot more to do, but I'm sorry we didn't have a chance. It was very nice. Kind of went by very quickly, a little too short. But it was a pleasure learning with you, and enjoy the rest of the summer.
Thank you.
Okay. You ought to make this like 6 weeks or something.